You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. Our current serial is Halloween Is Not a Verb from the Fake Geek Girl series, also known as the Belladonna University series. My Patreon subscribers can already download and read the ebook of this complete serial, and everybody else can pre-order it on Amazon or Smashwords. It will drop on October 31st. Halloween Is Not a Verb, Chapter 12. Practical mythology works better when you've done the readings. Hebe tried flying over the walls, but the maze hated magic, or her, or both. So she ran, twisting and turning until the hay walls turned into painted stone, covered in ancient graffiti, then back to hay, sometimes packed into walls, alongside butternut pumpkins. She didn't find Ferd so much as she tripped over him and landed hard on the ground with his unconscious body cushioning her fall. Oof! He didn't seem to have anything wrong with him, but he wouldn't wake up however much Hebe shook him or yelled in his ear. "What do I do now?" she asked him hopelessly. "When in doubt, make out with the unconscious person," said a sarcastic voice behind her. Magic laughs in the face of consent ethics. Hebe whirled around and threw herself at the comforting presence of Sage, all huggable shoulders wrapped up in flannel. "I'm so glad you're here," she said, clutching at him. "Wait, this is all your fault." "It's like 40% my fault," Sage admitted. She shoved herself away from him. "You smell like a craft brewery." "That's because I'm craft wasted," he said, and laughed. Hebe didn't. "I can't believe you were spellcasting drunk." "Shouldn't have been a problem," Sage protested. "I've done it before, no problem. But Jules..." He paused and looked around. "Hey! Whoa, he was here a minute ago. I guess he went left when I went right, or I went left and he went right. If you say you spell cast better when you've been drinking, I'm going to hit you with my unconscious boyfriend," Hebe said icily. "What were you thinking?" Sage sagged and dropped to the ground beside Ferd. "Clearly I wasn't thinking. Sorry, Hebes." "Ugh," she said to him. "Why are you the worst?" He shrugged and looked pitiful. They did not seem in any imminent danger of being attacked by anything except hay bales and butternut pumpkins. With a sigh, Hebe lowered herself to sit next to Sage. "Why were you so spun out about the deck thing?" "I wasn't," he huffed and started again. "Look, apart from the thing where you two are apparently super comfortable with your shirts off, it was for art. I wasn't spun out. I definitely wasn't being a dick," he complained. "I was working really hard not to..." "There we go," said Hebe. "What?" He did look confused, bless him. Clearly the magic hadn't siphoned off all the honey mead or whatever else he'd been drinking. "Why did you have to work so hard not to be spun out? You know I've dated since you. Is it because I had casual sex for once in my life? Or because it was your roommate? Or, wait, are you in love with Deck?" Stranger things had happened. "No, none of those things are..." "Fuck, Hebe." He was clearly not at the correct alcohol level to deal with any of these suggestions. His head fell forward into his large hands. "What the hell?" he muttered. "This is why we have to have conversations about things, so I don't make up problems," she said sweetly. "It was because I didn't know about it," he muttered. "Am I supposed to ask you permission? Put a guest book by my bed for you to sign off on every weekend?" Sage made a strangled screaming sound. She patted him on the knee. "Sorry, but you knocked my boyfriend unconscious with a giant homework project. I have to punish you a little." "Do you, though? I think we both know the answer to that." "You're my best friend," he blurted out. "Or you would be if we were in primary school." "Grown-ups are allowed to have best friends, Sage. Move on." "We've been at uni nearly 3 years, and you were so chill about the breakup, about the band. You come to every gig. You know everything that's happened to me. Every hookup, every boyfriend, every..." He stopped and waved a hand wildly at the maze around them. "Every incident that belongs in the Jules Nightshade dossier of bad choices," said Hebe. "That, yeah. I'm starting to think I've been a really crappy friend to you." Hebe let out her own strangled scream. Sage looked at her in surprise. "What?" "This isn't on you, Sage. You didn't know about Deck because I didn't tell you. I mean, yes, we assumed you'd notice, but I still didn't tell you. There's a lot of things I don't tell you. I know everything about your life because you are literally incapable of keeping secrets. When you figured out you were gay, you ran to my doorstep to let me know as soon as possible. Well, yeah. I keep things from you," she said. A lot of things. I keep things from everyone." He was looking at her now, his eyes soft and warm. Not even a little bit hurt, which was something. "Things like what?" "I wasn't actually chill about the breakup," she blurted out. It kind of wrecked me. It took a really long time to get over it, and I never wanted you to see how much work it took." Sage was still staring at her, but his gaze wasn't warm anymore. "What?" he said. "There you are," said a voice, breaking into the moment. "What the hell happened?" Hebe and Sage jolted upwards, staring at the newcomers. Viola, in her elegant semi-formal witch robes, and May, in a pair of glasses shaped like humorous ghosts. Viola was holding a ball of string, which unwound behind them like, oh, like the story of the labyrinth. That made sense. "Your mate Jules Nightshade happened," said Sage automatically, which earned him an appropriately scornful glare. "Is there a minotaur in here?" Hebe thought to ask. Is that a thing that's happening?" She paused. "Did a minotaur eat Jules?" "I'm not ruling it out," said Sage. Viola, nearly a head shorter than him, leaned into him and flicked him hard in the middle of the forehead. "You are a waste of magic," she informed him. The maze shuddered around them, and the passage was suddenly a lot more intimate than it had been. "Is this place shrinking?" May asked in alarm. "Oh no," said Hebe quietly. She could feel the magic around them squeezing inwards. She knew the scent of it, like she could tell which of her mothers had made any given batch of pumpkin scones. The maze didn't just smell like the unsettlingly pleasant combo of Sage McLaren and Jules Nightshade's magic anymore. "I think the mums are trying to break the spell." "Yeah, no, that's not going to fly," said Sage. "I love the mums, but we put some hardcore charm work into this installation. Adding more magic on top of it is going to..." The maze rippled and a loud roaring sound came from somewhere. Viola closed her eyes. "You set trap hexes," she moaned. "Of course you did." "This was our assignment. We wanted to impress you," said Sage. The wall behind them, mostly made of butternut pumpkins and straw, burst into flames. Viola jumped and extinguished the fire with a word, but then stared in dismay as the wall hissed angrily at her. The air filled with the scent of scorched pumpkin. "Now I'm hungry," said May. Hebe shoved at Sage. "Run, go, follow that string out of the maze and shut the mums down. We'll bring Jules out, find everyone else stuck in here, sober you two up, get you to dissolve the charm work properly." "This is why you're our manager," he said, and pointed at her. "I'm not the band's manager," she told him. Because if she said it enough, it might be true. Sage grinned widely. Who said anything about the band? As Sage ran off, Viola crouched down beside Ferd. "What happened here?" "Everyone without magic lost consciousness when the maze happened," said May. Viola shook her head grimly. "Shit. How much magic did they use on this thing?" "How much do they have?" Hebe added. It was something she'd been low-key thinking about for a while now. They had some friends with stupid amounts of juice. "Bad news," said Sage, returning with a sick expression on his face. "The maze is closed up, all dead ends that way." Another wave of magic sparked overhead. The maze rippled precariously under their feet. "You mean it's changing?" Viola stood up, furious. She waved a finger at Sage. If you knew anything about mazes of actual Minoan history, you'd know they were a spiral. One path, easy to get in and out of. They were fucking symbolic. Here we are, in a nightmare of David Bowie-ian labyrinth proportions, without the adorable Muppet Goblins. Where are my Muppet Goblins, McLaren? I love that movie, May sighed. I could be at home right now watching that movie if you all didn't make me commit to socialising in person. There was a roar from somewhere within the maze. It's actually worse than that, said Sage in a pained voice. You made a worse mess than even I think you made, Viola demanded. Jules wasn't eaten by the Minotaur, he confessed, all in a rush. Viola clearly saw it coming and closed her eyes. The Minotaur kind of is Jules. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. If you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.